Yo.
What's up?
We have another special guest today.
Do we?
Yep. This one's special one, too. ¿Qué pasa, Kyle?
What's up?
It's another week, another podcast.
Another podcast? I feel like we just did one.
I think a lot of people enjoyed the live thing, don't you think?
I personally got a kick out of it because it was cool to have questions coming in. I mean, you and I couldn't even keep up. I mean, we had question after question and great questions too, you know, different stuff to, you know, it's not the same how long you've been flying, like it's really in-depth stuff, so.
Yeah, I agree. I had a lot of fun. I think it was a great good time. Like, we answered a lot of questions. We had a great time ourselves. Like, I think people enjoyed it. The only thing I regret is not having, like, posted the video afterwards, but, you know, people can listen to the podcast, right?
Yeah.
Maybe next time we'll actually post the real high def video that we're taking here and not just the live broadcast itself.
There'll be more, maybe next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And have some more people and all that, so.
But today we have a special guest.
We do. Yeah, Very special indeed.
Yeah, and this guy is cool, man. I've known this guy for a long time.
Yeah.
So let's not even spoil it. Let's just go ahead and give him a call. What do you think?
Let's do it.
Synergy RC, this is Matt.
Mr. Botos.
Bert, how you doing, buddy?
Good. How are you, man? Good to talk to you. Thanks. Thanks for taking the time. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime. We have Mr. Stacy there as well.
Of course. Always.
Hey, Mr. Stacy. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
Excellent.
Nice.
So, Matt, so we started doing this podcast I don't know, like, this is our number 5 now?
Yes.
Yeah, number 5. And we wanted to bring you on for a lot of different reasons. So, number one reason, I think you're one of the most experienced guys.
Ancient?
Well, I mean.
There's only one guy more ancient than that than me, and that is Kyle Stacy. What's his name?
Berghammer.
Yeah, whatever. Nah. No,
I'm talking ancient. Ben, I'm talking ancient. Like older than the hills. Been in it longer than anybody I know.
Curtis Youngblood.
He's not in it no more, though. I missed the guy, but damn, he's not in it.
Yeah. All right. Help us out.
Dude, it's Bennett. A no-brainer.
Oh, Todd Bennett.
Yeah.
That's going way back. Sorry, Todd.
Yeah, he's with the Curtis Youngblood generation there.
Yeah.
He's the last survivor.
Yep.
He's the last one, man. That's crazy. But thanks for coming along, man. You know, as you know, we own our own business, kind of like you do. And, you know, a lot of people might think that, you know, this is kind of like a pitch for a freaking hobby shop or whatever, like, you know, company. But it's not. We want to bring people from other, you know, other manufacturers. And, you know, we had Kyle Dahl before and, like, now we have you. Like, this is all about the hobby in itself, shooting the shit together. And maybe educating a few people about the hobby, you know, teaching them stuff or, like, answering questions and things like that. So
I like it.
That's the whole point. So, okay, so let's get started. So we're going to make this brief. We don't like to do 3-hour podcasts, man. That's overrated, you know?
And quite frankly, when I see a podcast that's 3 hours, I'm like, oh, my God, do I even have time to listen to this? You know, let's face it. I mean, 3 hours, it's like, okay, where's the meat and potatoes? I want to hear the good stuff. And so, yeah, if you can condense a podcast into a half an hour, A+, man.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing with, like, the long podcast is that your podcast is not easy to find the content, right? So if somebody says, hey, we're going to talk about the new Synergy, whatever, you know, or the new guy, whatever, like, people are interested in a certain topic, or, you know, we're going to interview Matt Botos, they don't know, is it an hour in? Is it, you know, 67 minutes in? Is it, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not like you can skip to the next chapter, so...
Yep.
I like the idea of keeping it short and sweet. But so let's ask you a few questions and then we'll take it from there. How about first question? I know you probably have been asked this, but I really don't know the story, and I want to learn from it. I met you, it's over a decade ago. It's probably like 13 years now, I would think. 12, 13, somewhere in there. When I met you, you were flying miniature aircraft.
Right.
And we went to Las Vegas, me and my buddies, Greg and Earl. Yeah, you remember that.
I remember that trip. Oh, yeah, that was a classic.
Oh, yeah. And we were flying this little piece of junk, like, what the hell was that? You remember the stupid helicopter we bought, like, we had, like, two or three of these little pieces of shit, and we're flying them in the hotel room or something?
It wasn't the blade CP with the wooden blades, was it? Or
no, dude, it was like a tiny little thing that some dude was selling at the field. It was like the smallest thing we've ever seen. You were flying miniature aircraft at the time, and you happened to be my team manager at the time, and then you got your team management position replaced by Mr. Clint Akins.
Right.
And then after that, you went and you joined Synergy, right? I just wanted... I know some people have asked, and you probably have discussed this before, but or explained this before, but how did you get involved? How did you become the owner of Synergy?
Okay. Well, let's start where you left off right there as far as how I went from miniature aircraft to Synergy. And that was in the heart of what I'd call my glory days, where, you know, Kyle Stacey right now, that's your glory days, buddy. Enjoy them. They don't last forever. But anyway... So, yeah, I was in the heat of the competition. It was around 2006, and let's see. It was at XFC, and I had just had a fourth-place finish at XFC, and it was probably my best finish ever. And basically, Todd Bennett approached me after that competition and said, hey, you know, we're trying to get this Synergy brand going, and, you know, Krause and I really need some help, and... You know, Steve Helms really recommended you, and so are you willing to come on the team with us? And after some thought, I was like, yeah, you know, this, you know, startup adventure, everything's going to be exciting and fun, and, you know, and at the time, I hate to say it, but I was having a lot of troubles with the Stratus. I feel like that model was probably the lowest point for miniature aircraft.
We all were having problems.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was such a bear to maintain, and just constant maintenance on that. So I was ready for a change. So I agreed to it. And, you know, after that, let's see, I flew about a year before Krause decided to leave Synergy for a line. And Krause, you know, Krause and the original owner of Synergy, it was Krause, Bennett, Stephen Fan, and a guy named Albert. So there are technically four owners. So Krause left for a line to start designing for them, and Todd approached me. He's like, "Man, we really need a designer." And you know, Todd had already approached Stephen Fan about this. He said, "Look, I need to bring on Matt as a designer because we need to keep pushing models and you know keep things going. There's some stuff on the N9 that really needed fixed." And so Stephen Fan agreed, and you know they put me on the salary, and I started designing for him. Nice. Yeah, and shortly after that, I believe Stephen Fan just kind of lost interest. He started racing Lotus, you know, doing all this, you know, hardcore racing stuff. And, you know, so I was really employed by Stephen Fan for only a couple of years before he got in a car accident when he was racing. And I had designed the N5 under Stephen Fan, and he basically, he didn't produce the model. You know, he sat on it for... You know, I had a prototype for over a year. It was you know, like 1,500 flights on this machine.
Wow.
Before I was like, look, man, are we going to do this model or what? And he's like, okay, we'll do it. And so we were about to release the thing, about to go into production. He got in the car accident, dies. And
I know, very tragic. Yeah, very sad. I remember that
time. Yeah, yeah. Huge loss. I mean, the guy was, you know, very wealthy guy. He was, I don't know if you remember the handheld, I think there were, Tiger games or something like that, like little football games and little handheld electronic. Yeah, he was the one that pretty much produced all of those. And, you know, his partner was the Albert was the owner of the production of Nautica, like polo shirts and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so he was producing those Nautica collared polo shirts.
I don't want to sidetrack you, but this show goes to prove how small the hobby industry is that. Stefano Baiardi, the owner of SAB, was really good friends with him. And yeah, and he would go to China and they would hang out, and Stefan always said, you know, like I knew that if he were to have an act, like he loved cars so much that, because he would just take Stefano like through all the streets in Hong Kong and stuff, like really hauling ass, like out of control, like he liked to go fast.
Story on that, he scared the crap out of me. I mean, we're in his Porsche Cayenne going through downtown Hong Kong. The worst road rage guy I've ever seen in my life. I mean, I was in fear for my life the entire time. Yeah. So anyway.
That's how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, right? So anyway, beyond that, you know, after Steven died, Albert basically committed to releasing the N5. And, you know, hindsight 2020, I didn't really realize the reason why, but I think Synergy at the time was probably in debt, and Albert needed to pay off all of Steven's Synergy-related bills without dipping to his own pocket.
Yeah.
So anyway, he released the N5, and we're about a half a year into it, and all of a sudden, no Albert. Literally just disappears off the face of the earth.
Wow.
And I was like, man, I don't know what to do here. You know, and Todd had already, you know, pretty much... he gave the distribution to me because he was done with it. He was fed up with basically
the customer service and all that kind of stuff.
I mean you got to spend a lot of time on the phone. I mean, the shipping and receiving, there's a lot to own in a business, and he really wanted to focus on the school, which is really what his forte is. He's a, you know, the best teacher I know. So anyway, it was just me, and I was like, man, I either dump this whole thing and just leave it and let it die, or, you know,
take it to the next level.
Take it to the next level. And so I called up some of the machine shops that I knew from a couple of my visits over in Hong Kong. And the one guy's like, you know, small family shop, you know, real cool guy. He said, yeah, let's take it on. Let's try it out. You know, what's the worst that can happen? So, and that's it. I mean, that brings us to where we are now. I've been with the same machine shop since 2009 or 10.
And you know, given the fact that you sort of, you technically inherited the company, but but with that said, you know, you've taken it to the next level. So, I mean, you keep innovating and releasing new products, and your latest creation is the 556.
Yeah, the N556. And I had to cash in my 401k because, let's face it, I mean, my machine shop wasn't willing to front the entire bill. You know, I mean, you order, you know, a couple hundred kits and you're talking a big chunk of money. You got to have a way to pay for them. So I basically cashed in my 401k from the 10 years at Earthlink and said, hey, let's invest in this. And if it flops, then hey, you know, we tried. But.
And you know, and that goes to show that, you know, what we've made comments. Yeah, I think last week we had Kyle Dole a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about drama in the helicopter world and everything else. And you know, I made a statement and I said, you know, you guys need to support the companies that support the hobby. Don't support the clone companies and the douchebags out of China. No offense to everybody, there's a lot of good people out there, but I meant it in the sense that don't support the people that just clone the products and copy stuff. Support the companies that, you know, that support the hobby, because we're the ones that are innovating and that are like sort of we're the ones developing products and supporting the customers and sending replacement parts when there's an issue and helping people and teaching people how to set their stuff up or how to build it or how to fix a problem or whatever. And, you know, we do R&D, we do all these things. And if we don't support these companies, you know, like companies like Synergy, companies like even Align, I mean, I hate it. I mean, all these companies together, like they're the face of the hobby. Yeah. They have a name, they have a reputation, they have, you know, a staff behind them. If we don't support them, the hobby is not going to survive much longer, you know?
Support the guys that are going to be here tomorrow. You know, the people that are committed to the hobby, they're trying to make it grow. Not these guys that are just, you know, here today, gone tomorrow, and they don't care. They just want to take your money, and that's it. They're gone. You know, how many companies have we seen come and go in, you know, say about a three-year span? You know, pilots invest in that company. You know, they spend close to you know, maybe $500, $600, $700, $800 on a kit, you know, put all electronics in it, and then all of a sudden they can't get parts for it. It's like, yeah. Not cool, man.
Right. So Matt, you said that you were working like a regular like 9-to-5 job at Earthlink. So what was the change like from that to go right into Synergy from, you know, managing stock and all that?
Man, I tell you what, I look back at 9-to-5 and I'm like, how easy was that? It's just 9-to-5 was just, you know, and I was a 9-to-5 that was, you know, I was in IT. So it really wasn't a 9-to-5. It was a 9-to-5 with, hey, you're on call. So if something happens, you're going to be working.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't get that many calls. Our stuff was pretty stable. It was good stuff. So, but looking back now, it's like, oh my God, you know, you come home, you just forget about everything and you go and have fun and do what you do.
Right.
Now it's like, I have to force myself to put away the business or put the business to the side and enjoy, you know, I'm big into video games and big into dirt bikes and, you know, I've got other hobbies, but I really have to force myself to put helicopters aside so that I can enjoy something else and mainly just to control burnout. You know, right. I don't want to burn myself out. So,
right.
Yeah. 9-to-5 is definitely easier. And having your own business is no joke.
This is so true. It's so true. I can totally relate 100%. There's no escaping it. There's no walking away from it. There's no disconnecting from it unless you force yourself to do so.
Yeah. And especially, I could be sitting there on the phone or, I'm sorry, watching a movie Sunday, 9 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, if I have my phone near me, you know, we're talking Facebook Messenger, email, all these forms of communication. It's like 9 different forms of communication. Yeah. It's like, okay, I got to put my phone like in the bathroom or something, put it in the toilet.
No, I can just forget about it. This is so true. This is so true. And it doesn't only necessarily have to do with having your own business, but it has to do a lot with having your own business in the making your hobby your business, having turned what used to be your hobby and still is to a degree to a business. It's totally different. Totally different.
So. Yeah.
Yep.
So Mr. Botos, who or what inspires you to design the helis the way that you do?
Man, I tell you what, I think it's an ever growing, you know, I look back at, you know, the first designs and, you know, real early stuff, maybe the Hirobo Skidoo or the Raptor 50 or, you know, those models, if you put an OS 55 in a Raptor 50 today, you will blow it up. Guaranteed. Oh,
yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, the heads used to pop off with an OS 50. You know, I mean, just pop off in flight. So it's been an ever-changing evolution of, you know, bigger, better, stronger, faster, more power. So, you know, I'm constantly trying to keep up with, okay, are we going to have more power this year? Do I need to beef things up? You know, I'm trying to lose weight and at the same time I'm trying to beef things up so, you know, it can handle the abuse. So I guess it's just the evolution of model helicopters and seeing where we can take it.
Right. So did you take like the N5C, and it's a similar size to the new 556 or stretched to a 600. So did you take the N5C, everything you learned from that, and just kind of grow it?
Oh, absolutely. I learned so much from the N5, and I applied things from the N5 to everything I'm doing today. It's almost been like, you know, you start with anything. Like you go to school and you start learning your basic math, and you learn algebra and trigonometry, and everything kind of builds on top of itself. So the more I design and the more I learn, the more I say, okay, this is what works and this is what doesn't work. And it's funny to watch other newer manufacturers go through some of the same learning errors that I went through back in, you know, say 2008 and 2009. It's like, well, I hope they get it to work because mine sure as hell didn't.
Because you were kind of self-taught with the designing, right? Because you had an IT background, so you kind of had to teach yourself how to design and do CAD and all that, right?
Yeah. And you know, what also taught me a lot was working with miniature. I mean, they made a lot of mistakes. They had a lot of great ideas, and they also made a lot of mistakes. And that's any manufacturing, helicopter manufacturer, that it's going to happen. You know, you try something new, you're going to learn something.
Sure.
So, but yeah, it's, you know, I learned a lot from Kraus. You know, I basically inherited his design, and I also inherited some of the mistakes he made. And one of the comments he said to me, I put the N5 on the table at Steve Helm's house, and you know, he was looking it over, and in typical Kraus form, he said, He said, "Well, your next one will be better."
and you know,
and I just at the time I was a little bit offended. I was like, "Well, you dick, you know, I mean, what the hell?" But he's right. His first design was the N9, and his second one, which was the T-Rex 700, was probably 100% better. So yeah, you have those building blocks, and you keep learning and progressing.
And to give him props, like, as much as Krause was always a dick, we all know that.
Yeah.
He was a really good designer. I mean, over time, he really nailed it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing bad to say about Krause. I had a lot of good times with that fucker. Wish he was still around. But anyway, so what about, let's ask you about Nitro. A lot of people always ask us, what do you think is the current state of Nitro? Where do you see Nitro in the future? I want to hear your take on that.
Well, it's, you know, I'm going to say it's kind of like a turtle going uphill, or I'm having trouble finding a correct analogy.
That's a good way to put it right there.
This turtle is crawling, and he's trying to get to his pond, but it's uphill, and I don't know how far he's going to get, but right now that turtle is going very slow uphill. We're gaining momentum. And I think it'll probably get to the state of maybe a 60-40 split, or maybe, you know, I would say we're probably at a maybe 90-10 or maybe 80-20. I don't know. What do you think? Between Nitro and electric, what's our split right now?
I think the split might be 80-20. I think. 80-20. I don't. I was just throwing a number just based on what I see out there. I don't know.
I think it depends a lot on the event and where you are. Like in Virginia, I saw a lot of Nitros, but I mean, various other events, you see like none. So it's
a very valid point because I think it also has to do with the, not necessarily the event, like in within the, like the region. US, but like worldwide, like, you know, Matt, if you go to Europe, some places in Europe don't do Nitro at all, you know?
Yeah. Well, they never really have though. I mean, let's face it, Mikado was doing like nickel metal hydride cells on their logo 4. I think the thing was called a logo 14 because it had 14 cells in it, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I believe that's what it was. So right. I mean, they're like, and they, I think it's because they couldn't get Nitro for whatever reason.
I know in Europe a lot of places the Nitro can be so freaking expensive, man. You're talking like, I mean, in some places in Europe it's like $80 to $100 a gallon.
Oh my God! No way!
Yeah, no way. So like $80 or something, like at the exchange rate, like 60 euros, 65-70 euros. So, you know, so and then you come to the United States, and it varies, right? In some places it's like $50, in some places like $28, $25.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It has to do with a place in the world. So worldwide domination, of course, will never happen again. I think it's a thing in the past when it comes to that. But you know, there's a big following for Nitro in the US again that I never saw before, not in the last few years, you know.
Well, so there's something cool. I mean, you know how it is, we grew up with Nitro and there's just something about it, man. I'm really comfortable with Nitro. It's where I've come from. I know the power level better than any other helicopter, and the 50 and 90 size, just it seems like home to me. And I've been trying to find the correct blend of power to weight ratio for an electric to feel the same way.
And you can't, like, and you can't, Matt.
No.
No offense intended. I have tried that for a long time. I don't think there is such thing. you can get the head speed lower and you can get the flight time to be longer, but the power curve is totally different, isn't it? It's like, it's not the same. It's just weird.
You know what's funny is I just bought it's an Alta electric dirt bike. It's an Alta MXR. And this thing's got ridiculous power. And I'm still trying to get used to the power delivery on this thing versus a gas, you know, four stroke. And it's been rough, man. You know, really, I don't know whether I'll ever go back to a gas dirt bike, but man, it's totally different. Same thing with the helicopters, totally different.
Does it remind you when you first set up your Synergy N9 on an electric setup?
Oh my God, yeah, ridiculous. Yeah. I was like, I can't even use all this power. It's just, it was too much. It was literally scary to the point where I was like, I'm really scared of this thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, the way Kyle and you know both the Kyle, Stacy and Dahl and Jamie and all these guys fly these electrics, man. I'm not quite that fast anymore. Not even close to that fast. So Nitro fits me. Nitro fits me better because it's more in tune with my brain to finger response time. Yeah, you know, yeah. It's just
so I'm a toss up with Nitro, man. I love the way it flies. I really do. I like the power curve. I like how it feels in the air, but I despise all the stuff that goes along with, like, wrenching on it and stuff like that. You know what I mean? It's like...
love-hate, absolutely.
Yeah, it's 100% love-hate. It's like, the flying part is beautiful. Like, long flight time's a perfect cup, you know, power curve is like, you get that nice torquey response, but it's not overly, you know, overpowered. It just feels great. Like, it's just a great feel, but... I just hate all the maintenance that goes with the Nitro, you know?
There is that, man. I'm constantly rebuilding motors. And then cleaning. You know, you got the goo.
Cleaning, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then also we're losing, and I hate to say this, you know, we're losing support for Nitro. You have a new pipe, right? You just released a new pipe. There's MRCI as well out of Italy, which we will be stocking in the future. And then there's Power Boost, and that's it, isn't it? Like, I mean, what else is there? Like, I guess there's an aligned pipe out there, right? But that's it.
It's slowly. I'm hoping this will start picking back up. The more we get, you know, people flying Nitro, the more the accessories will pick up. And yeah, you know, I've tried to pick up the little things like the carb needle adjusters, the crank locking tools, the I just did a fuel clunk, and I know everybody's got fuel clunks, but I was like, what the hell, I'll throw mine in there as well.
There's not a lot of selection though, like there used to be. True. Remember, like now people, Hattori is done. Like there's you can't get an OS50. You can't get a 91 anymore.
And then if you want to, like most people I know, they go to RC Japan. They have to go to Japan to get parts for the Japan. I mean, come on, like there's got to be something else. I mean, it's
changed. I think that's a transition that Habaco, you know, recently the Futaba and OS distribution is now going to be directly under Futaba. So I think Nick's working really hard on controlling that distribution. He's going to be the head of that, and hopefully he corrects all those problems and gets that back on the right track. So looking forward to that.
That would be good.
Matt, let's bring up a topic that is interesting. Okay. I want to hear your take on this. And we covered this with Kyle Dole a couple weeks ago. And it's a little bit of drama. We'll make it short because the podcast needs to be positive. This is all a positive thing. But we were talking to Kyle about Facebook and the trolls and the drama and everything that goes on with that. What is your take on that kind of stuff? Like, have you seen some of this drama that goes on lately on Facebook? On some of these Facebook groups and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody has a voice these days. And, you know, sometimes the loudest voice gets the most followers. And that's not always right. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, say you get the loudest voice out there and everybody's following. Well, that person may only have 2 years of experience under their belt. It's like, oh, okay, man, you really should, you know, kind of consult some experts before you start commenting on
something. That's a good point. I never thought of that. That's a really good point.
You know, we've got a lot of really green guys giving advice out there. And, you know, unfortunately, it sometimes leads people into situations that aren't always the best. And, you know, it may affect how they view the hobby. You know, they may not have as much success than if they, you know, got advice from other places.
What really upsets me, like, and it upsets me in any way, shape, or form, because I brought up a post that was made on the RC Heli Hangout, and you know, I hope it didn't get misconstrued, because I give Frank and Chris and the Hangout guys a lot of compliments for having done what they did. You know, they grew a group from 0 to 3,000 plus members, and we all know how difficult it is to grow an audience on Facebook these days, especially when you have to approve them ahead of time. This is like a close group. It's not like it's just anybody can click the button and be a part of it, right? They have to be approved.
Yeah, yeah.
So I gave them a lot of compliments for like having done what they did, but there was one post there And I also clarified, I don't think the guy that opened the post meant it in a disrespectful way. I don't think he was trying to bash anybody or anything. But he made a comment about a certain product, and it had nothing to do with us. It wasn't my product. It wasn't your product either. It was completely unrelated. But it really upset me because I know the people that stand behind the product did not deserve that kind of not necessarily what the post was meant to say, but more what the people that came after the post was made said. Because what happens is it opened the door for the people that were fans of other brands, and then they started bashing that brand and saying, well, you should do this, you should do that. Well, why are you doing that? And it just turns into the stupid, like, negative, you know, thread of bad comments towards that brand. And the people that are standing behind a brand are a legit company that actually supports the hobby, right?
Yeah.
It's just crappy. It's just like, it's one of those things that, you know, we talked to Kyle about it, Kyle Dahl, for a while, and he was very adamant about the whole situation. And I feel the same way. I feel like, you know, going back to what we said in the beginning of this particular podcast, it was that, you know, we got to support these companies. You know, they're the ones that are putting time, effort, money, you know, and resources into the hobby. And I know I've known you long enough to know that you're an avid hobbyist. Like, you love the hobby. Like, you, dude, you would have never left Earthlink for this shit.
No.
So, I mean, that's the whole point, right? It's like, you know, support people like Matt, support people like that really give a shit about the hobby, that care about the hobby, that innovate, that go to an event and shake hands and don't have a problem spending 20 minutes with you to teach you something about the hobby, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's the whole point.
Well, and let's face it, you don't keep a pair of underwear for 5 years, right? You keep a pair of underwear for maybe a couple of years.
I keep mine for like 10 years, dude.
You wear your underwear?
Yeah, my wife has to throw them away and buy me new ones.
Man. But yeah, I mean, it all comes, you buy new underwear and maybe you're going to try Hanes next year. You know, I mean, maybe Fruit of the Loom is going to be. So, you know, it all comes around. It all goes around. You know, I've got Synergy guys that, you know, maybe next year they're going to try Goblin, and so be it. You know, that's cool. And everybody should support everybody trying different stuff. There shouldn't be this big, cult of, oh, you're drinking the green Kool-Aid, and you're drinking the blue Kool-Aid. It's like, man, we're all flying helicopters. Let's just have fun.
I totally agree.
Totally agree. So, Matt, can you tell us about current projects, future projects, any sneak peeks? Like,
he's not going to give us any sneak peeks.
Come on. What are you working on? What you got going on?
He's not going to say anything.
Man, Kyle, that's hard. It's really hard to give you something. I really want to. I want to give you my meat and potatoes. But
give it to us, then buddy. Come on. Do it. Do
it's
it.
Fine. Nah, this is, I think it's just the three of us, dude. Go for it.
A frozen pea, maybe. I'll give you a frozen pea.
Frozen pea.
A frozen pea is I am working on something right now. I do have a prototype, two prototypes of the same model. Oh. And I will be flying it within the next 2 weeks.
Oh, really?
That's all I can give you.
Are you going to be flying it in private? Are you going to be flying it and doing a video? Or
flying it in private, yep.
Is it nitro-powered or electric-powered? Or turbine-powered?
See, that's too much. It's too much.
It's turbine-powered, isn't it?
You're going too far.
So this is beyond the 556, which is just shipping right now, of course.
This is beyond the 556. I've been working on this particular model since, let's see. Oh, man. It's been about a year now.
See,
you know, it's been one of those slow designs. You know, I've been slowly designing this one, and finally I pulled the trigger on actually making it a couple months ago. And so, you know, I've got probably that's the first one on my plate. Obviously, I got the 556 off my plate. Prototype now. There's also another one that's I'm working heavily on designing. So it's all you got to keep it rolling. You know, if I'm not doing something in SolidWorks, then, you know, I'm probably going to miss a year of revamping a model, or, you know, you got to keep trying to reinvent yourself. Otherwise, you kind of just fade away.
Well, let me guess. You're designing an RC car, aren't you?
Man, that, you know what's funny is I heard just recently from my buddy Bill Kravatsky. He's big into the full scale. He owns an RV-14. He built it from ground up. he's really involved in the full-scale community of, you know, kind of hobbyists over there. And Krause, Jason Krause, had a company for a long time making parts for those airplanes. And just recently I heard that Krause either sold his business making airplane parts, but is now getting into the RC car parts.
No parts way. And car.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah, that's seriously, that's what I heard. And, wow.
That's a business of its own, man. I've been exploring. I've been playing with that side of the industry for the last 3 years now. And let me tell you, but because of the servos, that is a very unique, completely different side of the hobby. I mean, the people in it are different. The style is different. The way to market products is different. The product life, shelf life, is 10 times longer than our product shelf life in the helicopters. Yeah. It's a different animal, man. It's a good business to be in, and it's fun. It's just takes a little bit of a different mentality to be in it as a hobbyist, you know?
Yeah. What do we got a shelf life of about maybe 3 years?
If we're lucky, yeah. Yeah. I mean, depends on the product, but yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, before we wrap it up, I know that a lot of people know what you've been doing on the side of the hobby, but some people also are curious. You own 100 acres, is that right? 150 acres?
105
acres. It's huge. I was there. It's big enough. And you have this nice, well-developed and maintained dirt bike track, like motocross track.
Yeah.
And you host races every year, right?
Well, I did for 2 years in a row. This year, I took a break just because I'm trying to focus hardcore on the RC helicopter stuff. It takes a lot of time away. Like I would have had a race last weekend, but I canceled both of them. And had I, you know, hosted that race, it would have interfered with the 556 release. I mean, literally, kits are dropping now. You know, and I've got, you know, this big pile of kits in my shop, and then, you know, to have a race going on at the same time. You know, with a race, I have to start watering the track if it hasn't rained, you know, 3-4 days ahead of time, just so there's enough water in the dirt to make it through the race.
The maintenance is a pain in the butt.
Yeah. So I've kind of backed off of that a little, and I'll open for practice, you know, every once in a while, just, you know, almost like just a side hobby, and I'll get some riding in myself. But other than that, it's really just kind of like a side business just for fun.
It's a lot of work, though. It's a lot of work.
Of course, anything you start that is for fun turns into a pain in the ass.
Cool.
Yeah.
But. Well, thank you for joining us, Matt.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been fun.
So Matt, if people want to get a hold of you, is the best way to go to your website or Facebook, or what's the easiest way to contact you?
Oh man, I tell you what, I would say email is the best way just because everything is in a queue, right? And I can monitor my work and I can stay on top of things a little bit better and reply to all the people that need replies. But, you know, then you got Instant Messenger, or is it Instant Messenger or Facebook Messenger?
Yeah.
Instant Messenger.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Right. You got that. And it's like, you know, that's for the guys that want this immediate response.
I hate that one because I can't keep up with it.
Can't either. I try to just, you know, put that on the back burner. And if I'm looking at my phone and somebody hits me up, then I'll try to answer as best I can. But I'd say email is the best. And
so, you know, where would they email you to?
Matt@mattbodos.com.
Matt@mattbodos.com. All right, let's wrap up this episode. What about you, Stacy? Where would people contact you?
Facebook.com/KyleStacyRC.
All right, people can get a hold of me if I ever answer. Yeah, I'll try to do my best.
But you don't.
Facebook, <It's okay. laughs> Facebook.com/BirdRC. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Thank you very much, Matt. I really appreciate you coming along.
Thanks, Matt.
Having you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Kyle. Thanks, Bert.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Bye.